This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
And welcome back to iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And there are plenty of things to talk about this week.
Ready or not, it's time for this week's Hot Topic.
Ed McMahon died.
Yeah.
Farrah Fawcett died.
Mm-hmm.
And none of the least, some people refer to as the king of pop rock, Michael Jackson, age 50, died.
Sad day.
Yeah, for a lot of people. You know, there's been a lot of hunches about his health, mm-hmm. you know, not being all that good for years and years.
Yeah. A lot of talk about pain pill overdose, or not overdose, I say, but overuse.
Or all pharmaceuticals, it sounds mm-hmm. like. Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, and this is the thing I always pray about, is I don't want to leave a bad lineage, right? Bad mm-hmm. history for my family, is that all this stuff comes out of the closet.
Yeah.
Whether it's confirmed whether you want it or not.
But it comes with the territory.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid so. It mm-hmm. comes with the popularity. And his popularity is, I mean, that, you know, we did a little bit of research before the show, you know, to get some of the information on him. I mean, he was, you know, when you compare him to Elvis Presley, the king of rock,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand what they're talking about now. I mean, he really brought people to their craziness.
He was changed. Yeah. He was culture changing.
Well,
yeah.
I heard on the news, and they say in London, he had, what, 3 or 4 concerts that were sold out in a matter of just a few
weeks? Oh, yeah.
They said that they sold out. Well, they announced it. He went over there for a lunch, sold all 50 concerts.
Yeah. I mean, and just a matter of what? Wasn't a week or something? Or I don't
very remember. Quickly.
Well, yeah. keep in mind, too, his concerts were not, I'm going to go listen to Michael Jackson sing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. His concerts were
pure entertainment.
Absolute entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, the technology that went into everything that made this almost like going to see a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't just
it
come
was
out
choreographed.
On, he didn't just come out on stage on the Dangerous Tour.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear how he made his entrance?
Uh-uh.
Did you see how he made his entrance?
No.
It's, I mean, smoke and growing tension music and wind and lightning and all this crazy stuff. You can't see the stage. And all of a sudden, the whole stage explodes. Mm-hmm. And he comes shooting out of the floor, landing on the floor with his feet shoulder width apart. And he's rock solid still like a mannequin.
Yeah.
And he's just like doesn't even breathe. Yeah. For minutes.
That's amazing.
And the tension, you can just see, it's just all, I mean, the whole play, because it was entertainment.
Yeah, it's all showmanship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was the gifted people around him as well.
Yeah.
That, but I'm sure his hand was totally in it because few people have ever done it like he's done.
Not like that.
You know, they were saying at the time, Madonna was on her upswing at the same time Michael was in the early 80s, and yet, his record sales far surpassed.
Yeah.
There was only so much.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think what we're really going to get to here is we're going to talk about his cardiac arrest. And, you know, I just, everyone knew he was ill.
Right.
But I don't think everyone really knew how much human effort was put into putting on a show like that. Now, Jody, you've got a history of entertainment. Mm-hmm. And you know how exhausting it is. After a day of performing, even a couple hours of performing, if you're really putting all your heart into it,
it
can take its toll on a person.
Oh, it's exhausting. It's more exhausting performing, I think. And people don't get this. I mean, you can go out and dig a ditch for 8 hours a day and be totally exhausted. I mean, it's exhausting work.
Right.
And people think, well, those performers, they don't do anything. They just get up there and do the thing and they're done.
Yeah.
It's more exhausting.
Yeah.
It's more physically demanding on the body and the mind. It is. Yeah. It's
well,
amazing how exhausting
and have you guys ever done something where you, I mean, it's showtime, and there cannot be a mistake. And if there is a mistake, it has to look like it was planned.
The exhausting piece clearly is it's mind, body, soul.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
It is, you know, just having performed in high school and band competitions, having to do sight reading.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a great deal of concentration.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and a band director staring at you going, you mess up, I'm going to throw a stand at you.
Well, and I mean, as much positive as he got out of his shows when they were a hit, can you imagine if something bad went wrong? And he had a history of that. The Pepsi Cola commercial when he was on his rising stardom, when the pyrotechnics caught his hair on fire and he had second degree burns, right?
Yeah.
All over his head, which started to cascade from there. Lots of health problems, which I think were just ironic and coincidental, but it was just weird that after that, it just seemed like there was always health problems.
Yeah.
But the amount of adrenaline spent in a two-hour show.
Yeah.
He danced the whole time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was like martial arts.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was unique with him because his whole body sang the song.
Mm-hmm.
His movements and everything choreographed to do it. He just never sat still. He wasn't James Taylor on stage.
No. Yeah, grab a stool, grab a guitar.
Exactly right. No, huh? Nothing acoustic about it. No. It was a full body motion singing the song.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Because he was dancing the whole time he was singing.
That's right. And, but the dance spoke the song.
Yeah, and it wasn't easy dancing. You know, it's one thing to just click your heel, but to do moonwalks and robot pop type stuff, that's just crazy.
It is.
So we printed off a couple of reports. And again, think, you know, you've got to keep this in mind. The autopsy has initially been performed, but it's 4 to 6 weeks away from conclusive. I'm a bit surprised that there's even any release at all. I don't know how it's leaking. I mean, this should be all under HIPAA.
The amount of demand for information is causing the leak.
Do you think that the family's allowing it, though?
No. You know, but think of how many people surrounded Michael.
Yeah.
That, you know, I know his personal attorney has been on talk radio or talk TV. He was on Good Morning America the day it happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, anyways, we printed this off from a website called The Politic. I have no idea even anything about this website, but it was speaking directly about the CPR episode, and I believe it was what found the link to the actual 911 call through the dispatcher, and we're going to put that on the website. But it says here that I realized that when faced with an emergency, many people freeze, but something does not jive with the account from the 911 call. This is by Charles Anthony. Writing about this Michael Jackson CPR and the doctor. The caller says that Michael Jackson's own personal doctor was there attempting CPR and that Michael Jackson was on the bed. Well, here's a major problem. You cannot do CPR on a person who is on a bed. The fact is you can. It just may not be effective. That's my input on that. The casualty has to be on the ground. Yeah. I would hope that a cardiologist would be the first person to know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, shortly thereafter, though, you hear from an RN who indicates that she frequently has to do CPR to patients in their bed.
Well,
she's in intensive care.
Yeah,
and talking about a firm mattress,
right. And also a CPR board. That's what they have in the hospitals. It's just the board you slip under there.
Okay, that's not how she indicates it.
Well, there was there's no comment either, and you would think that whoever's the 911 caller. If the doctor was doing it appropriately on a CPR board or it was a hospital bed that could deflate, that he wouldn't have moved Michael Jackson to the floor.
Well, I listened to that 911 call, and this article does bring up kind of an interesting point. It just doesn't jive. It doesn't seem quite right. The way that the person on the phone explained it was really strange. It was odd. It was almost like...
Yeah.
We better call 911 just to cover all our bases.
You know, I don't doubt. I just can't believe that Michael Jackson would hire just any cardiologist.
Right.
I would want to believe that this cardiologist knew the prognosis even before this occurred.
Exactly.
He knew what medications Michael Jackson was on.
Yep.
He knew what kind of lifestyle he was living.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that Michael Jackson had made comments like, this is my 50th birthday, I want to do 50 concerts, and then I'm going out with a bang.
Yeah.
There was some comments about that, meaning I'm going to disappear.
Yeah, and that, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. It sounds weird. You don't want to suspect.
No.
But it's odd. It's odd. And it makes me think exactly that. That maybe this was a potential suicide attempt.
either a suicide attempt or just trying to gain enough strength and well-being to make through these 50 and then come what may, right?
Okay.
But my thought here on the cardiologist is, if you're a cardiologist and you know that it was hours from the last time you saw Michael Jackson, we're not getting any reports as of yet as to whether he was pulseless but not breathing, if he had agonal respirations upon finding him. We don't know anything about how much downtime there was or potential downtime there was.
Right.
A cardiologist is going to know after 6 minutes, I don't have much left to do. And if Michael had, if this patient had dependent lividity, which means the blood's pooling in the recesses of the body, the cardiologist may have been going through the motions for the sake of Michael Jackson and the family. And therefore, you know. So
did they, here's something I don't know. Did they perform CPR in an ambulance on the way to the hospital? Or was it called there? I didn't catch that part.
Yeah, I didn't either.
It said in one of these articles that we printed, and again, I just don't know the sources of the articles, that EMTs were requesting calling the time of death on the scene.
Okay.
Physician, per these articles,
was
not allowing that to happen.
Really?
Yeah. And that's not...
Okay.
I don't think... I mean, a doctor can certainly override that from EMTs and paramedics.
Oh, yeah.
And I could imagine that there were maybe policies put in place that, you know, if something were to happen, we're going to do everything we can until we turn him over to the hospital.
Sure.
So I could be respecting his wishes.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay.
And it would not be good to leave this type of personality.
Right,
with all the fans. And with, I mean, it wouldn't have taken long for the EMTs to leak. We just weren't. Michael Jackson.
Right.
We just ran a call with Michael Jackson. He's at blah, 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 blah. We know the address. At that point, all's blown, right?
You know, and that's what makes me think this was a 911 call only to make the situation look better. It wasn't because there was any hope of doing anything. Everybody there in the scene knew what had happened, knew that this has already taken place. We don't know how long he was down. No one said that yet.
Right. Well, that you and I were discussing that is, you know, though this sounds like the doctor was a permanent resident there.
Yeah.
And in the role of a physician to Michael, was he available at the time? Did it occur in front of him? How long had he been there without medical assistance? I mean, who knows?
Right. You know, there's a lot of speculation that because some of the preliminary things are talking about contents of his stomach, that he was down to 50 kilos, which is about 100 pounds.
That's light. That's very light.
Yeah, it is. And even as if he's a small frame, that's still really light. That he has a history of only eating one meal a day. There was a lot going on here. And I'd heard someone else say, too, that these top performers never really do plan on growing old.
I can't imagine they would. I mean, that's their life.
Why would they? Yeah. They don't want to be remembered as an elderly person.
No.
Yeah.
And no one will remember him as an elderly person, though.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it's... you think of the stars of the 60s, the ones who died of overdose or whatever. They're legends. Lead singer from the Doors. We'll never know what he looked like as an old man because he never got to be. He's been the legend that long.
Did they ever find him?
That was Hoffa.
No. I thought that was the lead singer of the Doors, too.
Jim Morrison?
That they never found his, his body.
He's up in UP, isn't he, or something like that?
Jim Morrison?
I thought he
or Hoffa,
or is that Elvis?
I
don't know.
We are on top of cultural events.
Exactly.
At iRescue Radio.
Well, anyways, it was very interesting, and we're gonna put the 911 call. Are we gonna put that up there?
Oh, we can. I don't know.
Is it public domain?
Oh yeah,
we'll run it by our
been
producers.
Everywhere.
We'll find out. We'll make sure that we're not doing anything crazy. But
now, as a side note, this article is a blog. essentially.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of varied opinions. And oftentimes, as all of us know, blogs bring out the worst in a lot of people, as I was reading through it. So we're not responsible for the content of that blog.
No. And regardless of how people thought about anybody, there's been several deaths of high-profile people. And it stands to remind all of us how fragile life is. Excuse me. And you can be bigger than life on the stage, but I think we're all reminded that the fragility of life is a realism, and or is a reality, rather. And our hearts and prayers are with the survivors and the kids and the families, and like anybody who dies. And no one is less important because they're not in the limelight. Mm-hmm. And we have to remind each other that cardiac arrest happens all the time. What is it? One in every second to 3 seconds?
Well, you figure 360,000 people every year with cardiovascular disease die of
cardiac related arrest.
SCA, sudden cardiac arrest.
Yep. So it's, and all those families are aching. So this reminds us that we're not indestructible. I think we're in an age where we think we're indestructible and that we can always take a pill to fix it. That's not the case. So eat well, exercise, say our prayers at night, and hope that we live a good life and leave a good lineage to our survivors.
iRescue Radio's top medical news.
On the medical news, now this is a little discouraging. I like swimming in lakes.
I like pools.
I like, you know, I like pools too, but...
Yeah, you're the don't step on the starfish guy.
He doesn't want to get eaten by a shark. Yeah. I know
this is our second honeymoon, honey, but there's jellyfish in the water.
You'll be finding me on the beach, not in the water.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Dan's not so wrong, because there's a new study out that says Lou Gehrig's disease could be associated with algae.
I don't like to hear that.
I know. Researchers at Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center are looking at a potential link that connects Lou Gehrig's disease and algae. Lou Gehrig's disease attacks nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord. While studies are still preliminary and additional research is needed, the preliminary thought is that the disease could be triggered by algae in the water. One source says that certain algae blooms produce a neurotoxin that may trigger the disease. The blue-green algae, which most of us eat,
is supposed
to be healthy for us.
I used to take blue-green algae.
I know. I got a bottle of it at home. Can be fatal to animals and should be avoided. Nice to know. Researchers note that this algae is extremely rare.
What I want to speak to.
Great. great.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
Ruined my day.
This is the reaction I got when I brought the article up. Like, I'm just trying to help here. You know, you guys act like, I'm telling you, this came from Martians. That people are getting Lou Gehrig's disease from aliens.
Well, you know.
I'm telling you, there's some
merit
to this. Based on the other crap we talk about on this show, of theories.
Why is your pants all in a bunch?
I tell you, Dan.
Because I brought something good to the table. And you guys are having an issue with it.
Well, no, not because it's a bad article.
Like it's a conspiracy theory.
Half the time. You misunderstand us, Dan.
There's so many things over
there. I would have, but your reaction was identical to Jody's. Mutually exclusive.
Because we both swim in lakes. And have taken blue-green algae.
And we're
shooting the messengers.
And it's kind of like, it's like with cancer. Everybody says, well, every week you hear something else that causes
coffee's bad for you. Coffee's good for you.
Let's leave coffee out of it, okay?
I mean, pepper. Pepper causes cancer. Pop causes cancer.
It does.
Yes. They had an article here about 4 years ago that pepper causes cancer. But you'd have to eat like about,
I was going
to
say,
three bottles a day.
Yeah, and have it stuck in your little pockets of
But that's the kind of thing I think of this article as. It's like, okay, wait a minute. How do they link this?
I guess what I'm suggesting is it is pleasant to see that research dollars are being done. You're laughing at me. If I wanted that, I'd go home.
No. I'm laughing because we're talking about the potential for a horrible disease.
Well, that's what I'm suggesting.
Yeah, it's awful.
Who's going to swim in lakes now?
Research dollars. You know, this raises a large question. I guess I just want to step back for a second.
All right.
Can you give me the floor?
You get the floor.
Take the floor.
I have the floor.
What do they say when they're in the Senate?
I yield to the gentleman.
To the knucklehead from Michigan.
From West Michigan.
Exactly.
5 minutes.
For 5 minutes. Go. All right.
Wait a minute. When's the rebuttal? Oh.
I'm not talking about my bottle.
Leave your bottle out of it. Now let's talk about blue algae. Come
on. Keep going.
No, I'm talking about all the rage research, I call it. The R. It's all the rage research. What I mean by that is AIDS is a very popular topic of discussion throughout the world, and it is an awful disease.
Yes.
And yet the proportion of people with AIDS compared to other heart disease, cancer, Lou Gehrig's disease, is fractional.
Sure.
And yet, because of the popularity, and you've got Willie Nelson and the boys doing an AIDS fest and raising money for it, which is
good. That's good.
It's pleasant to see that somebody's actually... I was surprised to see anything on Lou Gehrig's disease. It's never talked about.
We spearhead it.
Well,
let's have a blue. Let's have blue algae fest.
I'm a little busy right now.
Wait. Okay, never mind. Keep going, Glenn. You're the floor.
We still got 2 minutes.
I yield to the man who's mustacheless.
I yield the remaining of my minutes, which is about 30
seconds. I made my point, which is unusual. I made it rather quickly.
You did, and very well. And so I say, hear.
Bravo.
No, I want to hear what...
I say we all get water bottles.
Jody boy.
Well, listen, I just want to know, this blue algae that they're talking about, is it a specific strain?
I don't know. Well, Dan only printed like the cover page of the...
Because it was a pretty picture on the front.
See, that's how liars figure and figures lie.
I know. Sharp penciling is really all over this. There's blue rocks and green algae.
I didn't call you anything.
Get off me.
It's a smackdown.
I want to know where you pulled this from, number one.
Well, first of all, I heard about it on NPR.
Oh, right. It's a Twitter thing.
Roy.
Oh, boy. This is like my article last week. See, now you feel my pain.
It is like Jody's article.
Well, worse than that, I don't remember Jody's article.
It's the one that was from the 80s. It was 20 years old.
Exactly. He's quoting 25-year-old technology as fact. Like nothing's been done in those 25 years.
And then Daniel updates his Twitter account for marketing. And
mine's 12 minutes old.
And all of a sudden he gets a tweet about blue-green algae.
Hey, this is good stuff.
No.
He feels my pain.
I'm telling you, I heard it on the way to work.
From whom?
On the radio.
From
on
whom?
NPR.
Oh.
You didn't even listen.
You said the radio.
And so I Googled it, and because I pulled it up from there, yours is from the politic. There's more F-bombs in this article than...
There is not.
Don't read through it.
No, I won't. I won't. I wanted it just...
Clearly you didn't.
I didn't. I just wanted the little first paragraph.
Well, you printed all 12 pages of it.
I didn't mean to. Poor Barb walks in, there's a stack of curled up papers. Look like a book. It's bigger than our training manual.
He throws it at me and goes, organize it and staple it.
I go, uh-oh. I guess there were some comments.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why I had to make the disclaimer on your behalf.
Thank you. Uh-huh. No, you threw me under the truck. I crawled out just in time before the truck.
Only two sets of wheel marks, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, anyway. Man. Well, thank so what do we do? What do we do? Floor. What do we do?
Well, I don't know.
Do we
know
not
about...
swim where there's ever there's algae anymore?
But, well, it says a rare strain of blue-green algae.
Yeah, but why are we supposed to eat it?
Well, it's a different strain, though. I think it's what the article's talking about. I don't know what that article's talking about. Because blue-green algae is very healthy and supposed to really help you in so many ways.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Because there's a lot of different types of blue-green
algae. Did you look it up?
I did.
So what's the news?
Well, there's just different types of blue-green algae.
Yeah. Different types of bacteria, too.
Exactly. That's exactly my point.
So is it like a equivalent to a staphylococcus?
I don't know. I don't know what they're talking about in that article. It just says blue-green algae.
Glad I'm going to have my little lab with me. Hey, kids, hold on a second. I know it's 95 degrees, but Daddy's going to run this down to the lab.
Just a minute, kids.
You wouldn't believe what I just found.
We're not even sure if this is the one that has neurotoxins in it.
Go ahead swimming.
Yeah. So much for our vacation this year.
Thanks, Dan.
I'm telling you to go to a pool.
No.
We have a week at a cottage on a lake, Dan.
It was for you to plan, not me. In my advanced age.
Yeah, Dan's
I
is
just
much
prefer
older.
To old. I just prefer to minimize
your risk,
my exposure to nature. And if I can live in my
awful.
Own bubble.
Oh, that's so terrible.
You're such a liar. You are a risk taker. You are a risk taker. You were just riding down the road the other day on a half taken apart bicycle.
Yeah, or,
were you really?
Yeah.
Or were you
riding? He didn't know it was taken apart.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, you got to realize, Jody, his hill, you've seen his hill outside his home. Uh-huh. It's like, if you could imagine.
We call it Big Bob.
San Diego, California. I mean, it's just like, it's just you could tough. Probably go 50 miles an hour on a go-kart, I bet.
Yeah,
a motorless go-kart.
I was real fortunate it didn't occur there.
I mean, so that's the hill they started down, right?
What did you do?
Whooping.
Well, the story is, I bought a new bicycle.
Mm-hmm. Very nice one.
It is. And I was actually looking at a membership at a health club. And I thought, no way. Mm-hmm. I just invested in this bike.
Yeah.
I'm riding a bike.
Yeah. Ride a bike.
Yeah.
So I get on the bike with the kids.
Right.
Heading down the road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go to turn a corner. The wheel goes straight. And the handlebars go.
No.
Dead serious. Oh, almost.
No. Thankfully, he was going like 2 miles an hour.
Fortunately. And they just had not anchored things down.
The whole
brand
bowl,
new
the
bike.
That holds the thing on.
And this wasn't tight. Trust me when I tell you, I did not buy this from
a second-hand store. Yeah,
or a large provider of many goods.
No. A discount.
No. I bought it from a
bike shop.
Dedicated bike shop.
Credible
bike shop. Very credible bike shop. And
not Stuff Mart.
Now, it's like if anybody recalls the Pee Wee Herman movies, it is relatively similar.
It does not look like that bike. It does not look like that bike.
Do you have a lion head on it?
No.
With teeth? And your license plate?
Hey, but check this out, though.
Good morning, Mr. Breakfast.
Maybe the thing that Dan should have keyed into was when he asked the bike guy, so is this all set, ready to ride? And the guy goes, oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Do they sell insurance? Is that
they don't, and he was somewhat remorseful when I brought it back. But I survived.
You didn't tip him.
Thankfully.
I tipped him. Just like Roy's used to me tipping people.
Yeah. Big spender.
So I survived the bike ride. That's
thanks be to God.
Yeah.
Man, so what'd you,
it could have been disastrous.
How far away were you?
I was about 6 miles away from home.
And you don't wear a helmet.
You didn't discover
it? Roy, how do you know?
Because you told me.
Oh.
How did you discover this? I mean, like 6 miles away from home.
I know it.
You rode
it
6 miles.
I rode it 6 miles. I'd already logged about a dozen miles on the thing.
He had to call his wife and say, honey, I need a ride.
Fortunately, I brought my cell phone and called Jan. She drove up in the big van and got me in.
I can't imagine you didn't notice it.
I'd have been steaming.
Man. And So anyway, since then, I've taken it back and they've anchored me down.
It doesn't really matter. You live on the edge. That's what I was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You're radical.
Well,
you're crazy.
Not only that, but I threw 200 bales of hay last week.
Right.
Oh, man, you
sucked in a ton of dust.
Right.
You're the man.
Well, in the past, though, I would have just taken the dust and brought it into the lungs and kicked it back out.
Now he's got a HEPA-filter mask.
Now I'm wearing a nasty little mask that allows for zero oxygen, but very clean, no oxygen.
There you go. It's more quality than quantity.
110 degrees up there. But
you should just have like a self-contained breathing apparatus, scuba gear.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hey.
Fire pack.
I got a friend that's going to give me a diving suit.
Ooh.
Yeah, no.
Yep. Flippers and a wetsuit.
You were toying with the idea.
I'm still toying. I have to sell my wife on the idea.
How many things can you keep selling her on?
A lifetime.
Roy's now driving a vehicle, which shall remain nameless.
Now, I didn't have to sell her on that.
Oh, yes, you did.
Not really? She still claims this is the second car in her life that she likes almost to the point of confession.
But early in the process, you were selling her on the idea of
the
just
concept.
Another car.
Yeah, concept.
Well, concept, yeah.
Yeah.
Not the car, but the concept.
Yeah.
And then he brought the car home and let the car do the talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The candy apple red. Or is it not candy apple?
No, it's Nightfire Red.
Oh, Nightfire.
That's what they say anyways.
So anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I do live on the edge, but I am reluctant to swim in lakes with multiple algae mechanisms.
Don't blame you now.
Floating my direction. Or stingrays swimming between my legs as I'm standing in the ocean.
Yeah, that would be a little disconcerting, I guess. Yeah,
you know.
It's fun.
Bring on the fresh lakes.
Yeah, or the swimming pools.
Or the swimming pool. I will take the Great Lakes
over
inland lakes.
Really?
Yeah, all day long.
Even though all the rivers dump into the Great Lake?
Yeah, but it's like it's the bathtub after the toilet. It's more spread out. It's more diluted. It's less concentrated.
The bathtub after the toilet.
Yeah, so that's if you stare at the toilet,
that's and
the amount of water content isn't near as great as what's in the in the bathtub. And if you dumped all the toilets into the bathtub, it would be diluted.
I don't think I can agree with you on that one.
I'm just telling you, when I lived in the great state of New Hampshire, which had far fewer lakes than our Midwestern states. Speaking of bathroom,
okay. It's coffee.
He brought the pot and didn't bring me a cup. In the very hottest part of the summer, everybody went to the lake.
Yeah. The lake?
The lake. And like the toilet lake. It became the toilet lake. It was like nasty.
Long lake.
Oh, Jody was just talking about that with his wife. She called to find out what lake to go to, did she not?
Yeah.
Well, and you said, what lake don't you go to?
Well.
What lake don't you go to?
I don't like it.
Which one?
Long Lake. But there's like about 5 million long lakes.
When we were a kid, the one that's like
a different one.
West of where I grew up.
That's a different one.
Right?
Yeah.
Little loggy went floating by, and we're not talking about a branch.
Yep. That happens frequently from things.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story is I am reluctant to swim in inland lakes, even though I'll go tubing.
Even though you grew up on one.
But you know what the thing about lakes?
I will not swim offshore. I will go out to the middle of the lake on a boat and do our swimming.
You never swim on the beach?
Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
Lakes are...
Because of duckage? I mean, swimmers.
You know, a lot of it because we're really battling zebra mussels,
and they
just carve your feet up.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have that when you were a kid? Oh, not when we were kids, but now as I'm raising a family and I take them up there, and we vacation on Lake Ann.
Yeah, you
know it. You can't without water shoes. You cannot go out and enjoy it.
Well, we had a nice beach on ours, but we had swimmer's itch.
Yeah, and you had a swimmer's itch
from there.
Yeah,
yeah. Elizabeth got it terrible.
Oh, most of them did.
Yeah, but the point is. If you go out to the middle of the lake, I just feel like it's free of the seaweed, free of the varmints.
Yeah.
You know, the stingrays don't come and get you.
Sure.
And I'm...
The barracuda do.
What's more diluted than I am, but...
What's even better is just staying up on top of the water, like on skis.
Well, then you're not taking any chances. What's the point?
It's fun!
Yeah, because Dan's the living on the edge man.
Well, have you ever slalom skied?
I have.
Have you ever parasailed?
I have not parasailed.
Have you ever kneeboarded?
I have kneeboarded. I really want to ski so bad.
You could. They've got wider skis now.
I don't need a wider ski. I need a bigger boat.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you haven't got behind a Mastercraft, though.
No, that's right. It would yank you out like a rag doll.
I love it.
I mean, it can pull multiple tubes.
Yeah.
And multiple people out of the water.
Podcast is really...
Taking a dive.
Duck itch.
So, okay, on the... in closing... For the sake of our listenership, we're speaking with a highly intelligent music master last night. And he had come across these brothers, and one of which had lost an arm in the military, but was a composer, a master composer.
Mm-hmm.
One-handed, still composed, but only about a handful of songs.
No pun intended.
Oh, that's...
True story. That's a true story.
That's terrible.
True story.
First of all, I busted
a gut last night.
What's a one-armed paper hanger?
What's
a one-armed paper hanger? I hear that all the time.
A one-armed paper
hanger? It's a guy that does not progress very quickly.
That's
that is.
Okay. Can you Google
that? Wallpaper. No. Hanging wallpaper, it's really tough to do with one arm.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, now we're more rounded as citizens. Now we know that analogy. So tomorrow when I walk in and go, you guys are as effective as a one-handed wallpaper hanger.
No, you don't say wallpaper. You just got to say one-armed paper hanger.
Oh,
it sounds so much better. Dan brought it up.
So find me on Twitter.
He's going to try to pull something productive out of this. So no training question this week. We're off for the summer. If you need training, go out to www.profirstaid.com. All of the training is for free. You can pick and choose anything you want. If you go out to Pro First Aid, there's even pool safety and some other things. So from the very jolly studios of iRescue Radio, I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I am Dan.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, we will.
Bye-bye.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at irescueradio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.